Our God is with you.
Also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish, distraught at the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the earth. The powers in the heavens will be shaken. After that, people will see the Promised One descending on a cloud with great power and glory. When these things begin to happen, stand tall and lift your heads, for your ransom is near at hand. Be on guard, lest your spirits become bloated with indulgence and drunkenness and worldly cares. The great day will suddenly close in on you like a trap. The day I speak of will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth, so stay alert at all times. Pray constantly for the strength to escape all that is going to take place, and to stand secure before the Promised One." The Gospel of Salvation. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Stories of hope. Don't we need them now more than ever? So we began this Advent having lit the first candle, the candle of hope. And we remember some of those stories. Today is the 69th anniversary of the arrest of Rosa Parks, a black woman who refused to give up her seat to a white man on a Montgomery, Alabama bus and moved to the back with the other outcasts. It was an act of defiance that could only be done by someone of unwavering hope. And it inspired millions more hope-filled persons to strive to rid us of the evils of racism and segregation. For her, it was a movement in the long arc of the moral universe that bends, sometimes imperceptibly, toward justice. Today is also World AIDS Day. Steve remembered that and brought this special red candle for that memorial today. It is observed by people whose hope tells them that we can do better at the prevention and treatment of this disease, that we can overcome the ugliness and discrimination that still comes with it in many parts of the world. We remember that this problem is not over. In the past year, the world lost about 630,000 of God's children to AIDS-related causes, and there were 1.3 million new infections. Hope is essential in this fight. Hope got us some progress, but we need more. And 35 years ago tomorrow, four courageous church women, including three nuns, were murdered in El Salvador, in the El Salvador War, a politically motivated crime. Their hope, their devotion to the gospel of justice was a threat to the super rich and powerful. The excessively privileged have always benefited from our being discouraged and hopeless. But these women were neither. The women were killed for the same reason that Archbishop Oscar Romero was killed only months earlier. Peacemakers and servants of the poor continue to be victims of war. On November 20th, we observed the 25th annual Transgender Day of Remembrance. In the past year, at least 36 transgender non-binary, and gender non-conforming persons were murdered in the U.S. alone. Most of them were black transgender women, revealing the deadly combination of misogyny and racism that infects our culture. Here's what Dignity USA Executive Director Marianne Duddy Burke, the mother of a trans child, wrote about this. Tens of millions of dollars were spent on political ads in the 2024 election that targeted transgender people. These ads stoked fear, anger, and hatred. They dehumanized one of the smallest and most vulnerable segments of our population. They all but guaranteed that there will be a new tidal wave of measures to restrict civil rights, access to health care, and parents' ability to advocate for their transgender children across many parts of our country. The fact that politicians can be rewarded for pretending that a tiny portion of our population is a threat to society reveals the most immoral aspects of our electoral system. But Marianne is too much of a hoper to be a defeatist. She also wrote, "Remembrance must stir us to radical action. Tragedy must become a springboard for hope. So let your love be an act of defiance which saves someone's life. We all know what Jesus taught us about how we are to be in the world. Now is the time to open our hearts and really, truly live it." Well said, Marianne. I should have read her whole letter. That would have been a great sermon today. What I have shared with you in these remarks is the inspiring work of radical hopers. The late great theologian Karl Rahner used those words, radical hopers, to make it clear what Jesus' followers have always been called to be. Radical hopers. Even in the darkest of times, when fascism threatens us, we know that our world is capable of being far more just, far more compassionate, far more peaceful. And our hope about that is radical. Radical, like the word radish. It means root. We hope down to our roots. It is a virtue that can't be eliminated by simply trying to shut us up. It's planted deep inside the core of our very being, where it can't be killed, like using Roundup on a stubborn weed. Because hope has a divine origin, it continues into eternity itself with all the saints that have died in hope. Hope is our calling, and it is more than a passive noun. It is a verb, an action word. Now, our readings today, on the surface, suggest that our faith ancestors just sat around and waited for a savior. That their idea of hope was to just be patient, and eventually the sky god would intervene in their suffering and make it all better. Jeremiah tells of a coming righteous branch from the line of David who will bring justice and integrity to the land. In Luke today, we hear of the chosen one coming on a cloud with great power and glory. The message seems to be that we should just wait for that. To wait for the strong man that God will send, and all will be well. But the prophets, including Jesus, would have none of that. They demanded that God's people live in hope, that they get to work and fix things themselves. Everyone is to be a righteous branch. Everyone a chosen one with great power and glory. Everyone. We are to believe that we are the ones we have been waiting for. The divine spirit lives inside me, and I can either cooperate with that spirit and activate the power of hope, or I can live with the mess made by a selfish world and give in to despair. Those are my choices. Poet and environmental activist David Orr once famously said, "Hope is a verb with its sleeves rolled up." A verb with its sleeves rolled up. When I think of those wise words, this image comes to mind. And I think you'll recognize it yourselves. It's something that that we've all seen many times. And it's coming up on the screen. There it is. You know that. Rosie the Riveter. Right. And I love that little quote on there. "You can't wring your hands and roll up your sleeves at the same time." Wow. Wise words. There is a determined toughness to those who really live in radical hope, a stubborn refusal to give up. It's why we call hope a virtue. Virtue, like the word virility, is from the Latin word virtus, which comes from the word for man. It is about manliness and the powerful qualities of men, including physical strength, bravery, and moral righteousness. You know, manly men. Yes, there is big-time sexism in that definition. Those qualities are not all tied to just one gender. Hope is an unrelenting virtue, a verb with its sleeves rolled up, even in our most heartbreaking setbacks, such as what happened on Election Day. In the midst of the stark reality of all that, we have dared to enter into a season of hope, a season of preparation to celebrate the incarnation, a season to realize that along with Jesus, each of us is an incarnation of the divine. Each of us. We take this sacred time to remember the toughness of the one in whose name we gather. We do so not as Pollyannas, but as hardcore realists, mindful of what time it is and what the state of the world is. The righteous branch, the chosen one, has already come, along with numerous other radical hopers before him and since. He taught us to dream about the blessings that come to the poor in spirit, to the humble, to peacemakers, to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But even with all that dreaming and all those blessings, we are not yet where we can be. Like Moses, we know the promised land is out there somewhere, but we won't live to see it like him. Still, hope beckons us to work toward it. And when we are really radical about it, we do so even with joy. Even with joy. That's the theme of the third Sunday of Advent. Can't wait to hear what Tom will have to say about that. One final example of a radical hoper. A couple of weeks ago, Bob and Lewis and I watched a movie called Cabrini, which was released earlier this year. It's about the life of Mother Frances Xavier Cabrini, a woman of remarkable faith, hope, and love. I remember how Tim and Vic and Kathy all raved about this film months ago and recommended it highly to all of us. If you need a good dose of hope, and who doesn't, this is the movie to see. In the late 1880s, this determined little Italian lady spoke to the Pope. How she got to do that is amazing in itself. For her, nothing was impossible with God. She told him about her dream of establishing ministries in other countries. So he gave her permission to start in New York, where Italian immigrants were suffering in abject poverty and were victimized by brutal discrimination. And I mean brutal. It was heartbreaking to see this hatred and cruelty depicted in the film, especially as it affected children. Many of them were orphaned, so she started an orphanage. She was undeterred. She demanded to meet with the mayor and other powerful figures and pressured them into working with her to improve conditions for the poor. She had to put up with severe corruption in city government and anti-immigrant bigotry in the general public, even perhaps especially among the police. But she found ways to turn up the pressure on her detractors, calling them to a change of heart and making incredible progress in her ministry. She did all this hard work while suffering with tuberculosis, treatments for which were very limited in those days. Still, this powerful little saint managed to live to the age of 67. I reflect on the life of this strong woman, and I think of the words of another strong woman, the Blessed Mother, praising God in the Magnificat in Luke's Gospel. "You have shown strength with your arm. You have scattered the proud in their conceit. You have deposed the mighty from their thrones and raised the lowly to high places." Hope, a verb with its sleeves rolled up. Radical hopers for whom despair is not an option. Toughness, virtue, daring to believe in a better world. The novelist Barbara Kingsolver wrote that the least you can do with your life is figure out what you hope for. And the most you can do is live inside that hope. Not admire it from a distance, but live right in it, under its roof. Dear friends, that's what activists, inspired by the life of Jesus, have been doing for centuries. We begin Advent with a tribute to them all. So, who are some of your favorite radical hopers?